Hello, and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivana, communications director for the City Council. On this week's show, March Madness means big-time sporting events for Columbus, how the Greater Columbus Sports Commission is working to make Columbus the destination for year-round action, and how spring cleaning can make a prom dream come true. And go crew! We begin this week with the proposed 2012 City of Columbus Capital Improvements Budget, a spending plan that includes $31 million for resurfacing 156 streets and dozens of alleys, the single largest investment in resurfacing in the city's history. The proposed capital improvement budget also includes $6 million for new sidewalks and nearly $6.4 million for bikeways, bike paths, and bike pavement markings. It also has $1.5 million to cover surface treatments for alleys. Council President Andrew J. Ginther says the proposed budget is good for Columbus neighborhoods and good for business.
The proposed capital budget is an investment in our collective future and a key to our continued success. Today is the beginning of Council's budget process. Council will work with the mayor to pass a capital budget that will strengthen neighborhoods and help create an environment for businesses to grow. By investing in the infrastructure of our neighborhoods and the city overall, we are investing in our quality of life, making it easier for existing businesses to succeed and for new companies to make Columbus home. Investing in streets and sidewalks make our community healthy, safe, and strong, and better for business. Investing in our city facilities allow us to provide better service more efficiently and at a lower cost. The capital budget is a unique opportunity to both generate new income tax dollars and to save existing revenue while improving the quality of life that makes Columbus such a great place to live and do business.
That was Council President Ginther. Other capital budget highlights include $2 million for safety cameras, $2 million for vacant housing demolition, and nearly $2 million for housing preservation, $3.8 million for recreation and parks facilities renovations, and $1.7 million for pools and spray grounds. Here's Finance Committee Chair Councilmember Priscilla R. Tyson.
We're looking forward to working with the administration and hearing from our residents as we review what the administration plans to propose, and we look for the ways as council to develop a long-term sustainable capital improvements plan that will focus on safety, neighborhoods, and improving the quality of life for our community in a way that we will remain economically competitive. And on the 29th at 5:30, we'll have public comment. And we certainly want our residents to be able to come to council or to contact their council members' offices and share with them anything additionally that they would like to see in the budget or even to share what they're happy about in the budget. On Thursday, April the 12th at 5:30, we'll have public comment on the amendments that council will have to this budget. And hopefully we'll be passing by that next Monday the final capital budget so that we can get the dollars on the streets to be able to make sure that these infrastructure needs are met. People will begin to get these jobs, and that will help us to continue to improve our income tax and improve our community.
If you're like me, you love the month of March here in Columbus. From the Arnold Sports Fest to the beginning of the cruise season, there is a little bit of everything for sports fans and the people who make it all happen, the Greater Columbus Sports Commission. I had a chance to sit down with the commission's leader, Linda Logan.
Great to be here with you today, and just excited about all that's happening in our community, sports-related, bicentennial. March Madness takes on so many different meanings when it comes to Columbus. We have the Arnold Sports Festival. We have 7 state championships. This year we have 3 NCAA championships. We had PBA bowling. We had an Olympic trial. We have USA volleyball. We have a little bit of everything. I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but right. It's so exciting to see our city out there and rolling out the red carpet for visitors and local residents
alike. On a national and international stage. Tell us about the role of the Sports Commission bringing those events to Columbus.
The Sports Commission, we're that one organization that is 100% dedicated to bringing sports to Central Ohio. We have so many wonderful partners that we work with, whether it's some of our sports facilities, our sports teams, some of our grassroots champions that live in our community that help us bring events here. But really our mission is to bring that visitor spending to town, to, you know, that vitality for the community, to raise our profile, and then of course add to that quality of life for the people that live here.
Any event too big, any event too small?
You know, we don't have a dome here, so we'll never get a Super Bowl, we'll never get a men's Final Four, but we have some of the greatest facilities in the country here, so we're so diverse. I think that's what makes us so unique.
Talk about the funding model and how the Sports Commission fits into the visitors and convention kind of model here in the city.
We are a big piece of the Destination Columbus, and we are an LLC of Experience Columbus. I was hired by the Convention and Visitors Bureau, now doing business as Experience Columbus, back in 1997 with the idea of being a person that would be out there trying to land events for Columbus. But we knew at the time that our competitors had very big staffs and, you know, in some cases, separate organizations. So we have, I think, the best of both worlds. So we actually spun off as our own organization in 2002. We're celebrating our 10-year anniversary. And since then, we've brought over 200 new events to the city while retaining all those great annual events that come to the community. So that's millions of dollars. And so legally, we share a lot of things with Experience Columbus. We do have a separate office, a separate board, a separate budget. However, they do support us in so many ways. You know, IT, HR, some marketing, some of our event support. So it's a really great combination of partnerships and also us having our own identity as well.
Talk about the positives when you're selling Columbus, because you're not just selling a sports facility, you're not just selling a stadium, you're selling restaurants, you're selling hotels, you're selling transportation, proximity, all that type stuff.
See, you could come with us on some of our calls here, so you got it down. So when you're selling the destination, you know, our assets, certainly when you think first and foremost, are these great sports facilities that we talked about. Two 20,000-seat arenas, unique space like the Crew Stadium, the first Major League Soccer stadium in the country, the fact that we have the Jesse Owens Stadium, you know, the new Huntington Park. I know I'm forgetting again, we just had on and on Berliner Park that has 31 softball fields all in one place. We think that's the largest in the country, maybe the world. So, you know, we have so many sheets of ice with all of our chillers. So first and foremost, these great facilities. Then we're a value destination. So think about, you know, we're affordable, we're in the center of the country. So again, our central location, we certainly see a lot of events get really a big bump in their attendance when they host events here because people can drive here, they can fly here with ease. Again, then just think about our Midwestern hospitality and the fact that we can roll out that red carpet. We are happy that you're here. In some cases, you are that big fish in the small pond, and we do give you that added bump of being the big event in the city. And then I really do think just our footprint now, the fact that this new Hilton's coming on board, you can park your car. If you have an event at Nationwide Arena or the Convention Center, you have 100 and some restaurants of varying price points right out your door. You have the so many great districts that you can walk to. So again, I'm excited just of what we have to offer.
Talking with Linda Logan from the Greater Columbus Sports Commission. Define Greater Columbus. Are you looking to push events to the downtown, to the campus area? We obviously have a certain golf tournament every, you know, early June in town in Dublin.
Right. We represent, you know, technically we represent Franklin County and the city of Columbus. However, we are neighbors to the north and south, east and west. You know, we work with events that might go to Ohio Wesleyan. We certainly would look at some events that might go as far south, you know, into some of our high schools that are in surrounding counties. We feel like that we can be there for everyone. And our expertise is that, you know, we might not always know everything about your sport, but we know how to package the community and we can help you there. So if it's a sport that we don't know a lot about, like let's say rifle, there was the NCAA championships were here for rifle last weekend and we had the best talent in the community here. We might not know a lot about the sport, but we certainly know what facilities are available, how to put the hotel package together, and then we learn about those sports. You know, we have a lot of emerging sports in the community. You know, there's more kids playing lacrosse in our community, so certainly that's a sport that I think we're going to see more of in the future. You know, things like that are growing. You know, before we had the Columbus Blue Jackets, we didn't have a lot of kids playing high school hockey, but you know that keeps growing and adding every year. So again, that's another sport that we've seen a big bump in the last 12 years, and with that comes more opportunity to bid on tournaments. So again, it just depends. Of course, it could be one person in our city that is a leader. I'll give you two examples. USA Volleyball's commissioner for the Ohio Valley region, Bob Price, lives in Westerville. We have hosted hundreds and thousands of volleyball championships and athletes in this community because of Bob and the Ohio Valley region in the last 12 years since the convention center opened. So with that, we've hosted them on a regional level. Now we're going to be hosting the largest national championships in Columbus this summer because of their leadership and the fact that their regional tournaments have grown so well. The footprint works, and now we have this new hotel that's coming on board a little late for this tournament, but certainly it's going to give us a lot more opportunities in the future.
Conventions book 5, 6, 7, 8 years out. Is that the same for major sporting events like the NCAA basketball tournament that was just in town?
You would think so. In some cases, for the Women's Final Four, the next opportunity for us to bid will be later this year for 2017 and beyond. But look, we just booked the NHL All-Star Game with 1 year out.
Yeah.
So every group is different.
365 days.
Right. So everybody's a little bit different. But by and large, some of the large events do have a longer bidding cycle. But some of the smaller events, we think, are more like 18 months to 24 months, something like that.
How are we keeping up with the comparables? And who, I guess, are the comparables? I guess I would think Indianapolis right off the bat, maybe a Louisville when it comes to facilities. And, you know, I mean, how do you measure? What's the measuring stick when you look out on the landscape here, especially in the Midwest, for a city that's not Chicago, you know, that type thing?
You know, look at our region. We have some great, great sports cities just, 2 and 3 hours away.
Yeah, I'll drive.
Cleveland, Cincinnati. You mentioned Louisville, Lexington. Yeah. Pittsburgh, Detroit, Indianapolis. So all of those are our competitors. And then there may be a specific sport where, for instance, wrestling. You know, the state of Iowa is also known for their wrestling, too. So we've lost out to them on some occasion. Omaha is an emerging market that they've got some great facilities. They've gotten very aggressive. So we see more of Omaha now coming down the pike. And Kansas City, St. Louis, Charlotte, Nashville. Then we'll bid up against Denver for something, or San Jose, because maybe they have a similar makeup. They have an NHL team. They have Stanford that influences their college scene. So it really depends sometimes on the sport. But by and large, those Midwestern cities that I mentioned are certainly in our competitive set.
Having Ohio State in your backyard, help or hurt?
Ohio State is such an asset with those great facilities. They have 36 varsity sports. They have probably, gosh, 3 or 4 dozen club sports. So depending on if you want to bid on Ultimate Disc, which is a Frisbee tournament, you know that there's someone on campus that is a leader. If it's an NCAA sport or a Big Ten event, you know, we certainly want to position us as a big college Division I city, but oftentimes they don't want it to be in their home court. So we may have to downplay the influence of Ohio State, and we may take the lead where Ohio State will for some NCAA championships, we may for others. So again, it just depends case by case, but certainly they're a huge asset. They have some of the greatest coaches in the world that are here that we'll take with us on some of our bids sometimes, and they will open doors for us. The same with our Division III coaches. Now that Ohio Dominican is a Division II school, we really feel like we can do something at all levels now for the NCAA.
Talk about corporate sponsorship, corporate buy-in, because the community has to be there to support these endeavors, not only buying tickets, but also showing up at, you know, pre-events, parties, you know, parties in parks. Just to kind of get that flavor of, last weekend with the basketball. I mean, people were out because the weather was 75 degrees, but people were out. People were, even if you weren't going to the games, you still needed to be in the arena district just to be a part of the experience.
You know, first and foremost, it's really the corporate Columbus and some of our community leaders that helped to form the Sports Commission. So almost 70% of our budget comes from the corporate community. And by and large, that's we get huge support just to open our doors every day. And then when we are out there bidding for these big events, it does take a village to make them successful. So whether it's the opportunity to have a corporate sponsor be part of a special event like that, or as you mentioned, the fact that we need people buying those tickets, supporting these big events, or else they're going to move down the road if we don't show that support. The one thing I see, I've had an opportunity to work all around the country in my career, and what I love about working in Columbus is the partnerships, and we see that at all levels. We mentioned corporate, we mentioned the these civic leaders. But I'll say that our hospitality community works so well together. Even though our hotels may compete against each other for some small events, they do know that they all have to band together for us to get those big events. And I've never seen a community come together like we do for our hospitality community to go after a women's Final Four, an NHL All-Star game. Just the fact that they're willing to work the long hours, they're willing to give and take and maybe give more rooms than they would normally give so that maybe they don't hold it back as many for their corporate leaders. But they know that in order for us to bid on something that requires optimum usage, they're willing to take the sacrifices. So I am so proud of our community and how we do step up when needed.
The Columbus Crew are kicking off their home 2012 season Saturday at 4 o'clock at Crew Stadium. It's hard to believe the Crew have been a part of the sports landscape here in Columbus for 17 years. While their successes on the field have certainly been well documented, an MLS championship and numerous conference crowns, the club's economic impact is overlooked. Council President Ginther highlighted this impressive fact with a resolution last week, featuring comments from Crew GM Mark McCullers. Along with McCullers is St. Charles and OSU product and current Crew member goalkeeper Matt Lampson.
2012 marks the 17th season for our Columbus Crew. Since last fall, we've heard the phrase, dare to be massive. Those words are more than just a marketing campaign. They accurately reflect the impact this team has on our region and, most importantly, our economy. I want to read one line from the resolution. The Columbus Crew and Crew Stadium have generated more than $384 million in direct spending both within and outside of the iconic stadium, produced $6.5 million in tax revenue for the city of Columbus, and supported 490 jobs in 2011. In other words, the Crew are a massive part of Columbus and our local economy. At this point, I would like to move for adoption of Resolution 0061X-2012. Clerk, call the roll.
Craig Klein, Miller, Mills, Paley, Tyson, President Ginther.
Thank you. And with the warm spring we've been having, we're hoping to have a massive start to the great home season this Saturday afternoon. Mr. McCullers, why don't you tell us a little bit about the festivities surrounding the first kick events and Black and Gold Week.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you, President Ginther and council members, for recognizing us here today. And truly, it's a humbling experience to be recognized today in the same company with the civil servants who have been recognized before us. And I would like to personally wish them the best in their retirement and thank them for their service. It's hard to believe, but this will be our 17th season of Major League Soccer here in Columbus. And as you mentioned, we're very honored to kick off Black and Gold Week with this appearance here at City Council. We have a lot of activities lined up this week. This Saturday, March 24th at 4 p.m., we will welcome the newest team in Major League Soccer, the 19th team in Major League Soccer, to the hostile environment of Crew Stadium, where we hope to welcome them in fine fashion. You mentioned the economic impact that the Crew has delivered over the past 16 years, and certainly we're very proud of our contribution to the local economy. Equally important and equally proud we are of our contribution to the community through our organization's efforts and through our Crew Soccer Foundation. Last year, we did a field refurbishment project at Rhodes Park with City Department of Recreation and Parks. We're currently involved with a project with Recreation and Parks at Ennis Park. And this weekend, and you all are invited to dedicate a new synthetic field that's been constructed through the resources of our foundation next to Crew Stadium and will serve our immediate community, the Linden community, and will provide programming, camps, clinics, leagues, for youngsters in our own neighborhood and in the community. So we're extremely proud of those. We're also proud of our accomplishments on the field. Over 16 seasons, we've made 11 playoff appearances. We've competed in 5 conference championships. We've won 3 regular season titles, 1 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, and 1 Major League Soccer Championship. And our under-20 youth team has won 2 consecutive national championships. So our player development program and our Crew Soccer Academy has been very successful. We signed three local players to our senior team, Aaron Horton from Olentangy, Ben Spees, who was the Soccer America Player of the Year and the National Championship Most Valuable Player this year for North Carolina, has signed with us. And with me today is Matt Lamson, a St. Charles graduate, also one of the top goalkeeper prospects coming out this year, playing for Ohio State, who has now signed with our senior team. So if we could, I'd like to offer Matt just an opportunity to speak to his experience growing up playing soccer in Columbus.
First of all, I'd like to thank everybody for having us and your undying support for not only the Columbus Crew, but also the sport of soccer, which I think throughout the United States is growing immensely. And it comes from councils like this to really spread. I can't remember a time without the Columbus Crew growing up in Hilliard, being a Columbus product. It really fed into my passion for soccer, which obviously has paid off. And starting in St. Charles and moving my way into Ohio State, I've obviously stayed a hometown kid, and I really appreciate the support that we're getting in the sport of soccer and with the Columbus Crew. And I hope this continues, and I'd like to personally invite all of you to watch a victory this Saturday against Montreal. So thank you very much.
Matt's representative of the type of players that we have on our team, quality people in addition to being quality athletes, and we're extremely proud of them. You all look fantastic in your Dare to Be Massive scarves. Being massive is about what can be accomplished when people come together. When these guys come together on the field, what they can do and win a championship, what our organization can do when individuals come together, and what our community can do when individuals come together for a cause. That's what being massive is about. That's what the Crew's about. That's our rallying cry this year. And we look forward to a great season representing the city. Thank you.
Mark and Matt, thank you.
Thank you.
I think the one thing before I present this resolution, Mark, you talked about some of the great accomplishments. Sometimes in this town, and it's the same conversation I have with Ken Schnocke at times as well, that we take for granted some of the amazing assets and professional sports organizations in this town because there's something else that happens in another part of town and falls in the fall season in Columbus that has us forget and take for granted what excellence we have on the fields representing us during other seasons. So let's stay focused on making sure of telling the story of the Crew, the impact they're having on the field, but also in our neighborhoods.
Up next on Call the Roll, a great program to help you with your spring cleaning and make the prom season something special for a teenage girl here in Central Ohio. Here to talk a little bit about this very special program called Cinderella's Closet Boutique is Jill Fergus. Jill is here from the Fairy Good Mothers organization. Jill, thanks for joining us here on Call the Roll.
Thank you for having us.
Talk about Cinderella's Closet Boutique. What is this and when is it taking place?
Well, Cinderella's Closet Boutique is a great chance for girls to get a prom dress for free if they don't have the means to acquire one for themselves. And we've been doing that for about 6 years here in Central Ohio. We're an all-volunteer organization. Last year, we were able to gift 1,078 gowns with accessories to Central Ohio high school girls. This year, we think we're going to do about 1,500.
Talk about the quality of some of these. Well, I bet you'd be surprised what people are saying. I don't want it. Let someone else have it. They need it.
Oh, they are fabulous dresses. Lots of them are ones that haven't even been worn before. And the other thing that's very special is we've made arrangements with retailers to sell us gowns that retail for anywhere from $200 to $400 for $30 each. And what we do each year is raise funds to augment the gowns that people give to us, because we want to make sure that we have gowns in every single size for people, for girls to come and get. So we have gowns from size 0 up to size 36.
Who are the teenage girls you're helping?
They are basically any girl, any high school girl, and they tend to come from Central Ohio. Last year we had girls from 123 different high schools.
Wow.
all over Central Ohio.
All over. And actually, I think we even had someone as far as Akron and several from Portsmouth.
Talk about the fundraising activities throughout the year leading up to your big event.
Well, we have one big fundraiser. It's called Party for Prom. That is in January each year. And this year, we were lucky enough to have it at the Park Street Complex over across from North Market. They were so generous. They donated space to us on a Sunday evening. And we partnered with Columbus Monthly and had the 10 best restaurants of 2011 as our tasting stations. And they were generous enough to donate all of that food also. So we were able to raise over $13,000 at that one event, which is huge for us because we're not a huge not a big charity.
Sure. So and your focus is, you know,
very specific. Very focus.
Right.
Yeah.
Saturday, April 7th at the Worthington Mall, right?
Well, it's Worthington now Palace? Named the Shops at Worthington Place.
The Shops at Worthington Place. Yeah. Sorry about that. On North High Street, south of 20, south of 270 there.
Exactly. They have donated space to us for 3 years to use. We store our dresses there. We have our event there. And what's so nice is that where we are going to be this year, it will be on the west side of the mall, and we have a private entrance for the girls. Our first day is on Saturday, April 7th. That's the Saturday before Easter. We actually open at about 8:30 or 9, but girls will start to line up at 2 or 3 in the morning, and we give them numbers. And then when we open, we let them in order of number, usually about 40, 45 girls at a time. So it's a very controlled situation. We want every girl to have a quality boutique upscale experience.
We're not talking about a Filene's basement thing. Good.
Absolutely not.
I mean, while it makes for good video.
It can be very messy.
Yeah, it's not the message you're really looking to send. You really are looking to make the overall prom experience one to remember.
Absolutely. We want every girl, regardless of her means, to feel like a princess.
What type of information do they need to bring with them? Are there eligibility requirements?
No, absolutely not. No eligibility requirements other than a high school ID. Dates are Saturday, April 7th. That's a Saturday before Easter, from 9 until 2. Then Monday and Tuesday after Easter, from noon until 6. The next Saturday, which is the 14th, from 9 to 2, and that Monday, the 16th, from 12 to 6.
Come early, though.
Yes.
You don't want to wait till the April 16th date.
No. Although, I tell you, we have 4,000 gowns to choose from. Mm-hmm. So it's an amazing amount.
Okay. And that all begins Saturday, April 7th, Cinderella's Closet Boutique, put on by the Fairy Good Mothers. Who are the Fairy Good Mothers?
Fairy Good Mothers, well, we're a group of a board that consists of about 18 women, and our volunteer base is about 300. And in 2005, five women from Dublin went to Chicago on a shopping trip and became aware of something there called the Princess Project, where they did this exact thing. So they came home and thought, you know, we should do that. So they got it all together, and starting in 2006, we're able to start to gift dresses. So we're all volunteers.
Who are some of your major sponsors? Any names you want to throw out there?
There are companies that have helped us over the years. Charles Penzone has always been a donation spot for us, which is very important. Women have always been able to drop off dresses there. Also to Calendar Cleaners. And this year, the HER Real Living offices have helped, which is very significant because they are all around the city. They have, I think, about 18 offices. You can also drop off dresses at the Monk Works gift shop in Worthington Place. They have been our helper and a very loyal friend to us for the last 3 years.
So if you have something extra that you think might go a long way to making a prom dream come true, those are the places to go.
Absolutely. They can drop it off there.
How about for more information on the project?
More information, either go to our website, which is www.fairygoodmothers.org, or call me, 614-296-6789.
It's Jill Fergus from the Fairy Good Mothers organization. talking about Cinderella's Closet Boutique Saturday, April 7th.
That event is taking place at the Shops at Worthington Place, and we hope everyone has a great experience with this special program. We are out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's CALLTHEROLL at columbus.gov. And don't forget, you can follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.